Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Today, we are opening the lines to find out what you want to hear on Your Call during these unprecedented times. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall at kalw.org. Before we take your emails and calls, I want to thank you for the incredible response we've had from the shows I've been doing about death and dying, caregiving, cancer, chronic disease, and prevention. If you've been listening over the past few months, you know that I lost my dad in early January. I took a month off to care for him and another month to process his loss. And I just couldn't return to hosting the show to cover politics as usual. It just didn't feel right. It wouldn't feel authentic at all. I have not been ready to dive in and cover the Trump administration and politics. So Ethan Elkind has been kind enough to host our One Planet series on Mondays and our media roundtable on Fridays. He'll be hosting those shows over the next few months, and then we'll regroup and decide what's next and what feels right. That said, I will be covering political issues soon. I mean, the shows that we've been doing definitely have a political bent, but definitely not like we usually cover these issues. But we will continue covering health and aging throughout the year because they are so important, and I don't think they get enough attention. So we'd love to find out what you think of what we've been covering and what you want to hear from Your Call in the months to come. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall at kalw.org. Speaking of the politics, you know that journalism is under attack. Misinformation is rampant. The Trump administration is going after dissenters and those who oppose him. He's trying to use an 18th century wartime law to deport people. People are living in fear. He's dismantling government agencies, firing workers, and ending grants, affecting everything from environmental justice to public health research. And he's getting rid of grants that really do affect research on chronic disease and cancer. So there's just so much to talk about, and we'd love to find out how you would like us to cover these issues and really what you've thought about the last couple of months. 866-798-8255. You can also email Your Call at kalw.org. One listener says, thank you for the shows you've been doing on health. My grandmother is dealing with Alzheimer's, and I have two friends with cancer. We are all dealing with something, and I agree with you, we do not talk about these issues enough. I've also appreciated the shows on caregiving. They are making me realize that no one in my family is prepared. Well, thank you for that. I wasn't prepared until I got thrown into it, and most people are not. And so that's another reason why I've been wanting to do these shows, because there's just so much to learn, and it is really hard to learn when you're in the thick of it. We're actually tomorrow going to talk about how to get your financial and legal end-of-life affairs in order. According to Trust and Will, only 55% of people in the United States are prepared, and this makes things very, very difficult. I also now, unfortunately, have personal experience with that, and it's not easy. So I just really want to share the information that I've learned over the past, really, several years. But I just think these shows are so, so important. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on these shows that we've been doing, and then what you want in the months to come, because we know that so much has been happening in this country and around the world. Mike writes, I'm truly sorry to hear that you've lost your dad. I lost mine when I was 7, and 60 years later, I think of him almost every day. Ah, wow. Thank you, Mike. I'm so sorry to hear that you lost your dad when you were so young. Mike says, thank you for asking your listeners for suggestions. Here's mine. When you interview pundits and policymakers, I wonder if you could inform them that their audience is hungry for substantive asks, specific ways in which we can organize to resist the coming calamities. We are tired of suggestions that we contact elected officials, especially when we cannot include large campaign contributions with our missives. We need to hear real plans for action. Well, thank you, Mike. I've been hosting this show for so long, and I hear you. Every time we ask someone, what can we do? They say, contact your elected officials. And I know that people are tired of that. So we will definitely try to go deeper. And you bring up another important point here, Mike, because we often talk behind the scenes about how important, how does it really, I mean, what is the use when you think about having a politician on for 5 minutes? They have their talking points. They usually don't answer the question. They take it in a different direction. But I do wonder what your thoughts are, given where we are right now. Do you want us to invite politicians on? We are very lucky because we have an hour. That's pretty unusual these days. And if we could have someone on for 30 minutes and immediately open the phone lines, I think it would be worth it, but you just never know. It depends on the politician. Sometimes they answer the question, and sometimes they just come in with their agenda and you don't really gain anything from it. So thanks for that, Mike. And I'd love to hear others. Do you want us to bring on politicians? Stephen writes, why have the Democrats become incompetent opposing the destruction of the government? Where is the intelligent leadership? Where is the long-range planning? There doesn't appear to be a unified plan to reach out to the voters and properly explain why they're losing. There should be a list of things voters will lose, and the Democrats seem over their heads in explaining this to the voters. The New York Times should be showing this damning list on the front page and not burying it inside pages. Where is the plan to restore our constitutional protections? Well, thank you for that, Stephen. I also have to say, we spent, if you listened late last year, September and October, doing so many shows about Project 2025. And talk about regrets, I have a lot of regrets that I worked night and day. And I could have spent more time with my dad. I just didn't know that we were going to lose him so soon. And he was only 74. And I put, we put so much work into these shows about Project 2025. Some people said, you're going too far. This is not going to happen. Well, it is happening. So that's another reason why I think I've had to just take a breather from all of this, because we did talk about what's to come. And a lot of people said we were going too far, but everything we laid out is happening. So Stephen, thank you for those questions, and we will definitely do shows about this. What is the Democrats' plan? I haven't really heard. They're on MSNBC a lot, but they're softball interviews for the most part. I really haven't heard a host say, why did you lose? And what are you planning to do from here? So thank you for that, Stephen. And we'll try to get in touch with some of these high-level politicians to ask these questions. Let's go to a few callers. Let's hear from Lisa in Oakland. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just want to say I appreciate the shows you've been doing. I mean, both my parents had Alzheimer's. My brother has cancer right now. Mm-hmm. I have chronic illness. But I just want to say I think you need to broaden the focus and change from crisis journalism to solution journalism. And that just doesn't mean calling the politicians. I really don't care what the Democrats are doing. I think what you're onto, Rose, is what a lot of feminists and young activists have been learning from our bad experiences of, I've been an activist for 50 years, where we were crisis-oriented, reactive, and burnout, instead of incorporating self-care and care of others into our politics. And there's lots of young people doing that. There's an entire podcast called Next Economy that focuses on sustainable solutions. I think there are young people starting farms that are sustainable and have politics that are really incorporating not only care of others and self-care, but anti-racist, or creating a vision instead of just anti-this, anti-that, having a vision. So, like, for instance, I have chronic fatigue. Well, it turns out after 20 years of trying all these different things, what's really been helpful is spiritual change and dynamic neural retraining, so that I'm changing the way I'm thinking, so that I'm not catastrophizing. I think the reason we're burning out is because we're stuck in that crisis journalism, always reacting, catastrophizing. My mother survived Nazi Germany. I know what the story is. We need to talk about how we're going to create solutions on the ground, mutual aid, farms, self-help, those are the things I think that will support us and create resilience, not having, you know, going back to what it was, which was always reacting to the latest crisis, and I think it will help your health too.
Well, thank you for that, Lisa. And the fact of the matter is, if you're sick or you're taking care of a family member, you can't engage. You just can't. It's there's too much going on. By the end of the day, you're drained. I remember one of the callers when we were doing our caregiving show, she said, I don't know what day it is. And I remember that when I was taking care of my dad, I forgot to eat. And by the end of the day, you're so tired, but then you have to wake up in the middle of the night. I mean, if you're really doing intense caregiving, and you can't engage in your community. So that's another reason why I've been wanting to do these shows, because too many people are sick. And we want people to be engaged and active, but they can't if they're sick. So it's not just about the individual. Doing these shows is about the collective health of the society. And so I hear you, Lisa, and you're right. I know that some people have said in the past, your show's so heavy and you're reacting to a lot. And you're right, we have, because it was so overwhelming. And I mean, solutions-oriented programs, I'd love to hear what others think about that, because we never end a show without saying, what do we do about this? What are solutions? What are people out there working on? But I'd love to hear what your thoughts are about solutions-oriented programs. What does that look like to you? What does that mean to you? So thank you so much, Lisa. I'm so sorry to hear about your parents and your brother, and I'm sending you and your family my best wishes, because it's so difficult. Thank you. Let's go next to Greg in San Francisco. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. I really appreciate all your shows on caregiving, and I'm sorry for the loss of your dad.
Thank you.
I know what I'm interested in is listening more. We in San Francisco, we're in a bubble. And, you know, we tend to talk to people that have our viewpoint, and we forget to listen to people who don't. And, you know, we have very little contact with people who voted for Trump, independent voters. And so I'm interested in you creating a panel discussion where we get to listen to the other side, you know, moderated and dispassionately, and so we can learn how to talk to people who have different points of view. What do you think?
Well, thank you, Greg. You know what you're reminding me of? It's 2025. Back in the year 2000, I cannot believe it's been so long. No, I'm sorry, 2005, 20 years ago, I did exactly what you're talking about by going to conservative states across the country, Texas, Oklahoma, Utah, Mississippi, to do this, to interview conservatives. It was during George W. Bush, because I just didn't understand. I've never been to these places. I wanted to learn. I went to churches, Walmart parking lots, campgrounds. And it was so interesting, because when you talk, not just a soundbite, but when you actually have an hour conversation, there's a lot more that you agree on. People are really angry about money in politics. They're angry about corruption. People, I mean, back then, and it's worse now, they were hardly making ends meet. Their kid was going to a dilapidated school. They didn't have health care. And so initially they were really angry, you know, at Nancy Pelosi, and they had the Rush Limbaugh bumper sticker on back then. It'd be interesting to do that again, but you know, we'll talk about that. I mean, what does it even mean, left, middle, right at this point? I mean, when we're talking about issues, healthcare, poverty, inequality, but you know, if you have specifics on who you'd like us to invite, Greg, or anyone else, please send them to us. And we're definitely open to doing that. What I don't like though is manufactured debate, because we've done that before about guns, for example, and it just left everyone angry. The phone lines lit up. But it was just, you didn't learn anything. So if we do that, I'd like to learn something and just walk away feeling like with you had an aha moment. I just don't like manufactured debate. That's just too easy. We could light up the phones, but we don't learn anything. That's just my opinion. If you disagree, I'd love to hear you know, talk about why you disagree and what we can gain from that. So thank you so much, Greg. Let's go next to Grace in San Francisco. Hi, Grace. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. I would like you to do a really, really deep dive on how the money is dispersed to the homeless here. I know that there is a stipend every month, and that is given, I don't know, by cash, by card, and that there's no drug testing to receive this money. And how many nonprofits there are here that do disperse some sort of reimbursement to exist on the streets. I think doing a major audit, which I guess Mayor Lori is doing now, but I think following that so that the citizens of San Francisco understand how our tax dollars are being given to the homeless and how the federal tax dollars are being given to the tune of, I think, now $1 billion here. That's what I think you should do, many, many shows, so that while Mayor Lori is doing his audit, you can follow that so that the citizens of San Francisco understand by the penny where this money is going, because it's not really working all that well. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And that is another good suggestion. We've done so many shows about the homeless crisis in San Francisco and beyond. We will continue to do that and to also really pay attention to what changes under Mayor Lurie's administration and doing a deep dive into the budget. So thank you for that, Grace. Let's go next to Mary. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the show. Hi, Mary. Are you with us? I think Mary dropped. Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Do you mean Marina?
Marina is next. Or, yes. Go ahead, Marina.
Okay.
Hi.
I am going back to, I think it was Greg's call. I think the problem is that Democrats, we do have a messaging, you know, we're shouting from the rooftops. Kamala Harris had amazing messaging, and I think her rallies and, you know, I don't think the messaging is the problem. I think no one's hearing it if you're on the other side. We have family members that are MAGA, and I asked my mother-in-law what she thought about the book banning, and she's like, I don't know anything about that. And I asked her about January 6th pardons. Oh, I don't know. I haven't really heard much about that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's because the media you're consuming, and that's just getting greater and greater. So, like, I don't know, do we caravan into these red states? Because I do believe we all have the same, you know, basic principles of life, you know, the money infiltration and buying votes and Elon Musk. And I mean, clearly people are outraged about that. But if they're listening to Fox News, then they're not, you know, even this leaked, you know, text message situation, you know, the left is saying that it was the, you know, the journalist's fault and that it wasn't that big of a deal. And that's what they're hearing. And there's no way, I don't know. I don't know how you fight that, because that's the problem.
Well, thank you, Marina. You make such a good point. And I don't think we talk about this enough at all, especially in public radio. The media landscape has changed so much just in the last few years. So new research from Edison shows that over 50% of people in the U.S. are consuming podcasts every month for the first time ever. And then the other thing that's exploding is YouTube. And I really love learning about health. I've done a lot of shows about health, but I love learning about health. And there are so many people talking about health on YouTube. And a lot of doctors are actually really concerned because there's so much misinformation. And when the algorithm learns about what you like, you just keep getting these videos. And so we are now, remember when people used to say in the old days before the internet, you'd leave your house and you would talk to your neighbor about 60 Minutes that you both watched last night and the front page of your local paper, you both read that story. Well, then they would say, now we're living in different media bubbles. It's even, I don't know if worse is the right word, but it's even far more different than that now. Because what concerns me, and I mean, I've checked out because of what happened to my dad, but I'm hearing a lot of people checking out because they just can't handle it. And so they're finding, it's almost like, no offense if people like Oprah, but it's mini Oprahs are doing a lot of self-help talk. So many people have these self-help YouTube shows. And so we are now vying for people's time, unlike any other time in history. People can go watch a cooking show on YouTube. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, to your point, Marina, that you're talking to your right-wing family members and they don't know about book bans, or they don't know about what's happening with, you know, the people who were in jail over January 6th. This is more common than ever. So that's the other question, is how do we deal with this? Some people are only watching. I just heard on Fresh Air, I think it was Steve Bannon, hosts a show for 4 hours a day and 2 hours on the weekend. So some people might just be listening to Steve Bannon, and then they might listen to a health show on YouTube. What do we do about that? How do we deal with that? We need to have more conversations about that. So thank you for that call, Marina. More shows about where people get their news and how to reach other people who've maybe tuned out is really important. If you have any ideas about how to go about that or how you want us to talk about that, we'd love to hear from you. On today's Your Call, we are opening the lines to find out what you want to hear on the show during these unprecedented times. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. And it has to go beyond media literacy, because what do you do if someone is on YouTube listening to someone you've never heard of and you're both living in completely different worlds? How should we deal with that? 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Going back to emails, Ted writes, please continue to let this show be a zone of solidarity for the marginalized and the downtrodden. There is so little coverage of working people, immigrants, folks without housing, communities dealing with toxic pollution and climate emergencies, and people with mental illness. Your show has been a reliable site where those voices have a chance of being heard. Ted, that's really heartwarming to hear, because we really have really tried to do that. You know, even before diversity in the media was a thing, we really talking with marginalized communities, people without housing, minimum wage workers, farm workers. One of my passions is, you know, women who make our clothing, and we've done so many shows about that over the years. So we definitely are going to continue that. I know a lot of people are living in fear right now, wondering if their loved ones or they are going to be deported. So we will definitely continue to do shows about those issues. Thank you so much for that, Ted. Thank you for that email. It's always nice to hear from you. Winnie writes, can you have someone from Indivisible on? Love your show. I listen daily. Thank you, Winnie. If I'm correct, Indivisible was started by former staffers of Democrats on the Hill. And so they talk about what they've learned by that experience, what really actually works when you call your congressperson or senator. And they have put together a number of training sessions to encourage people to get active in their community and to engage. So we had people from Indivisible on, I think it was sometime last year, but we can definitely invite them again. So thank you for that email, Winifred. We have a number of other emails and callers. You can join us today on Your Call. We are opening the lines, 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today, we are opening the lines to find out what you want from Your Call during these unprecedented times. And I just wanted to let you know that because of the loss of my father, which we were not expecting, he was only 74 years old, I just haven't been ready to cover Trump and politics as usual. So Ethan Elkind has been kind enough to host our One Planet series on Mondays and our Media Roundtable on Fridays. He'll be hosting those shows over the next few months, and then we'll regroup and decide what's next and what feels right. I will be covering political issues soon, but we will continue to talk about aging, caregiving, health, cancer, chronic disease, prevention. I just think these shows are so important because if we're not healthy, we can't engage in our communities. And unfortunately, we're going in the wrong direction when you look at the numbers of people with chronic disease and cancer. So I think shows about prevention are so important. And I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts about what you've been hearing, what you want us to cover, and your thoughts about the changing media landscape? Because just in the last couple of years, I mean, YouTube has surpassed Apple for podcasts. People are getting so much of their information from YouTube now, and we're trying to figure out what that means and how does that mean about making sure that people are informed about these critical issues, what the Trump administration is doing, what's happening in Sacramento, what's happening in your backyard. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Let's hear from Susanna in Carmel. Hi, Susanna. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ms. Rose. Yeah, there was two things, but one question I have is
virginiawolf.org.
Are you there?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Hello.
I have the one question that I want to find out, if you guys could find out, if the people in office right now can take away public radio, because that's what they're talking about doing. And is that going to be possible for them?
Well, thank you for this. The head of NPR, I'm just making sure that I have the date right. Yes, so NPR CEO Catherine Marr is going to testify at a hearing on Capitol Hill tomorrow. And you can imagine what the hearing is called. It was called for by Marjorie Taylor Greene, called, quote, anti-American airwaves, holding the heads of NPR and PBS accountable. So she is going to be talking about this tomorrow. And I'm not positive, but I'm guessing we're going to talk about this on the media roundtable. And then we will definitely do a show about what happened at this hearing. And the right has been going after the Corporation for Public Broadcasting for years. Now, we know that these are unprecedented times, so we'll definitely do a show about how that could possibly affect public radio stations.
Your question, Medicare.
Yep. Yes.
Can you talk more about, can you guys do more research on it? Because a lot of times they don't cover. I know they covered for your dad quite well, but he also had excellent other health insurance. So he was one, you know, out of a million, I'd say, where most of us are just living on Social Security.
Well, thank you for that. So you clearly have been listening to the shows, because you're right. I did share that my dad was a sheet metal worker, and thanks to his union, he had an incredible supplement. So he had Medicare and his supplement. And when people like Bernie talk about Medicare for all, one thing he doesn't talk about is that Medicare right now is not free. And I don't think a lot of people know that you actually have to pay for Medicare and you have to have a really good supplement. So thanks to my dad's union, he did have excellent coverage, but not everyone has that. And so we will definitely do shows. I've been thinking a lot about this because of what I went through with my dad. You know, how the right has been going after Medicare for years. And the New Yorker just has a piece yesterday, I haven't read this yet, "Don't Believe Trump's Promises About Protecting the Social Safety Net." Medicare writes, "Threats to Social Security and Medicare are continuing to raise alarms." And so we'll definitely do shows about those questions, but then also, you're right, the coverage. What does Medicare cover? I've been hearing some doctors also say that they're really concerned that the payment that they're going to receive from Medicare is going to decrease, and that's going to affect the care that they are going to be able to provide. So thank you for those questions, Susanna, and we'll definitely do
of
shows
course.
about Medicare and also the future of public radio.
Okay, I pay about $500 total for Medicare and my supplement.
$500 a month?
Yes.
Wow.
ARP is almost $3 and Medicare is almost $2. Wow. It's $180-something. And there is places that you cannot go anymore. Mm. That they won't take Medicare anymore because they're not being paid properly at all.
Mm. Wow, that's amazing. $500 a month.
Yes.
Thank you for just for Medicare. So we will definitely do shows about this because I know it is so, so important. I mean, especially when I looked at my dad's bills, I saw that one of his cancer drugs was $40,000. Just one. We got one bill that was $220,000 and the out-of-pocket was $220. I want to do some digging, but I'm guessing it's because he had Medicare and such a good supplement from his sheet metal union. But not everyone has that. And what about people who do not have Medicare? And if they have cancer, how do they get the treatment they need? So thank you so much. We will definitely do so many shows about Medicare and healthcare. On today's Your Call, we are opening the lines to find out what you want from the show during these unprecedented times. We're dealing with so much. How do you want us to cover these shows? We're really lucky that we have an hour to talk about these important issues, and you really bring so much to the table. Again, I really want to thank you for the amazing response that we've had on the shows that I've been doing about death and dying, caregiving, cancer, chronic disease. It just, those shows were so hard, but you shared so many beautiful stories, and it really just really helped me in my grieving process. And it's just, we're all going through something. So I think it's so important to continue doing these shows. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We have so many emails. Let me read a few and then we'll go back to calls. Bruce writes, I'm a 65-year-old vegetarian who doesn't drink alcohol, beer, or wine. If you want to fight against injustice, you need to be healthy to be more effective. So feel free to pepper in political theme shows, but please keep doing self-care shows and shows about health. You're right, Bruce. Thank you so much. We've got decades ahead of us, and there's going to be a big fight for a long time. And you have to be healthy to be effective, as you say, and to be involved in your community. So I agree with you. Thank you so much, Bruce. We'll definitely continue to do these shows. Caroline writes, I love it when you include the stories and voices of our Latino and Native communities here in California. I enjoy the eclectic variety that's been coming through your show. Perhaps a theme for the week and then dive in, whether it's on health, the food chain, environment, and of course politics as it relates to California and the world. Keep up your good work. Thank you so much, Caroline. So my father was Pomo and Paiute, and he was on, I'm so glad I had him on the show. My great-grandmother was Elsie Allen. She was a well-known basket maker in her later years. She actually became a basket maker in her later years, and her baskets were on display at the Santa Rosa Junior College Multicultural Museum. They had such an amazing response. Her baskets are now on permanent display, and my dad actually spoke at the opening of that exhibit, and he was on my show last year, and I'm just so glad that I have that. So you can find that show if you go to kalw.org, click news, and then your call. And if you're ever in the Santa Rosa area, be sure to go to the Santa Rosa Junior College. And it's amazing. My grandmother, great-grandmother's baskets, Elsie Allen, are on display. And actually, my cousin, Dugan Aguilar, was an incredible Native photographer, and his photos are on display at the Oakland Museum, and we're going to be doing a show about that. Unfortunately, Dugan passed several years ago. They think it was due to Agent Orange because he fought in Vietnam. And there's another story about Trump. I want to get this right. ProPublica had a story recently about Agent Orange. Here we go. Trump halted an Agent Orange cleanup that puts hundreds of thousands at risk for poisoning. So this was a March 17th ProPublica article, which made me think about my cousin Dugan Aguilar, and we'll definitely do a show about this. Caroline, thank you. We will always bring in the voices of Latinos, Native communities, and others. If you've been listening for a long time, we did many, many shows about Japanese internment, and those were very special shows. So we'll continue to bring in so many people living in this rich area, people that we really need to hear from more on a regular basis. Thank you, Caroline. Kevin writes, I am 65 years old and just applied for Medicare. I lost a job last year and qualified for Medi-Cal. It covers dental, hearing, and vision, unlike Medicare. I'm hoping the $880 billion cuts will not happen, as it will affect so many people that depend on it for their health care. I'm also the grandson of a Holocaust survivor. My suggestion for guests is three progressive podcasters I started listening to last year. They reflect the progressive and humane positions I support, such as the U.S. following the Leahy Law and international law regarding additional aid to Israel and their destruction of Gaza and extermination of Palestinians. They also enthusiastically advocate for Medicare for all and other progressive issues. Kevin goes on to write, please consider podcasters Kyle Kalinske of Secular Talk, Mike Fugarito of Humanist Report, and Canadian David Dole of Rational National. Each would make an excellent guest considering the loud current calls for actions by Democrats. Thank you for this, Kevin. You bring up a lot of points in there, and we will definitely do shows on these issues. I've heard of two of those podcasts. I hardly listen to them. I haven't heard of the third, but again, this is speaks to the fact that there's a lot out there. And we will definitely look into these podcasts and maybe have a couple of these hosts on our show. Thank you so much, Kevin. And I'm sorry about your lost job. And, you know, isn't it, what does it say that on Medi-Cal you can get dental, hearing, and vision, but you can't get that on Medicare? And I mean, I've had a root canal. It was $1,200 out of pocket. My healthcare doesn't cover dental. And Bernie has been trying to get Medicare to cover dental, hearing, and vision, but it just never goes anywhere. So, you know, under these people, it's definitely not going to happen in DC. But, you know, what about California? So we will definitely continue to do shows about these issues, Kevin. Thank you so much. Rebecca writes, if you want to have input from MAGA voters, it's not necessary to travel far. Things get a lot more conservative just 10 to 15 miles east of Oakland. Try getting some input from people who work in law enforcement, for example. As some other callers have indicated, information silos are the problem. A couple of shows on how to approach that problem and change it would be helpful. I very much agree with the callers who suggest that we need to get outside of the left-wing bubble in order to heal our society, even though it's hard. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I think it's also important to remember that so many people don't vote. It's almost half the voting population do not vote. And then we have the Electoral College. We would not be here if it weren't for the Electoral College. Trump, he won the popular vote. But if you think about what happened in 2000 and what could have gotten done possibly over the last 25 years, we would be in a totally different place. Maybe Medicare would have covered dental, vision, and hearing by now if it weren't for the Electoral College. Unfortunately, we'll never know. But I think that's also important to remember. And we'll definitely continue to talk about these issues. You know, given that this has come up a few times, what does that mean to get outside the bubble? What questions, who would you want us to have on? Because I remember we did a show with gun owners and some of the guests said some pretty racist things, which were really hard to handle. And it just happens. And so I'm not saying that any MAGA person that came on the show would say racist things, but this has happened in the past. So how would we benefit from this? That's the question I have. Not just a manufactured let's yell debate and light the phones up. We could do hot talk every day, but how does that benefit us? That's the question I always have. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. Let's go next to another email. Sumble writes, one recourse is education for our children that helps them understand how important it is to resist confirmation bias and to analyze current affairs from a variety of perspectives. Thank you for that, Sumble, to think of children and how they navigate this media world. I remember speaking to a journalism class at UC Berkeley and at Stanford, and I asked these journalism students where they get their news, And they didn't say anything at first. And I said, no judgment. I really want to know. And they said they get their news from TikTok and Instagram. Some of them listen to public radio, but most of them get their news from Instagram and TikTok. And some of them do follow the New York Times and NPR, but not all of them. And so it's really important to also learn about young people and where they get their information. So thank you for that, Sumbul. Today on Your Call, we are opening the lines to find out what you would like us to cover during these unprecedented times. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Alan writes in, I love the show, but I think we need programs on bliss and joy to see that there is some light at the end of the tunnel. Well, thank you for that, Alan. To your point, I think it's so important to bring on people who are doing really good activism and really good work in the community, working with young people, working with people with disabilities, working with people who are in jail and in prisons. You know, I learned doing caregiving for my dad. I learned about so many organizations doing such great work, and they hardly get talked about. Hospice, of course, does amazing work, but there are organizations that give rides to people who don't have transportation when they're sick. There's a group called Ceres in Sebastopol who will make meals, healthy meals, for people who are low income and maybe don't live with people who can cook for them, and they will bring them warm meals and nourishing meals. There are organizations, in fact, I have a lot of things from my dad, like a walker, just the basic things you need for caregiving, things that we didn't use, and I'm going to donate that next week. There are organizations out there that then let the community know that they have walkers for people who can't afford them. So there's all these things out there that a lot of us just don't know about because we haven't been in that world, and I think it's important to also elevate those voices. I met a young woman yesterday who is organizing Filipino men and women, workers in the Bay Area. She just talked about how Duterte got arrested and they're going to be doing a big action. So there's so much out there, people doing such good work, and that really needs to be highlighted and elevated. So if you know of any organizations that you'd like us to highlight, you know, I think a lot about the kids that are being left behind right now who live in poverty and their parents are having a hard time giving them what they need. And so who's reaching out to those children so they don't get lost and fall through the cracks? So any organizations like that, we would love to highlight them on this show. Bruce writes, do a show with local labor leaders, including Rudy Gonzalez, who leads the San Francisco Labor Council, as to the viability of a national labor strike or local labor strike for that matter. Teamsters and longshoremen leaders, your silence is deafening. Thank you, Bruce. I have to say, I haven't been following this, but I will look into it and we will definitely do a show on this. We regularly talked about workers organizing, striking, and unionizing, and we'll definitely get back to that, because a lot of our guests said that one thing that, I mean, there's a lot we can talk about with the Biden administration, but they had a lot of pro-labor leaders at the top in very high-level positions, and people were organizing and unionizing, knowing that there was not going to be a crackdown. Now we have the complete opposite. So we'll definitely do shows about workers and organizing and labor. Thank you. Cliff says, thank you so much. The addition of the health shows have been great. I'd love to see a series of 10-minute explainers of the historical background major issues with a critical edge, of course, from one of the KALW journalists or a visiting expert, which could then be put on the website and where people could send their friends and family. Even people in the Bay don't always know how the current issue has come about. How about topics like the right to asylum, academic freedom, the Electoral College, the powers of the president? Here's a short version of what I'm thinking. History You Were Not Taught 101. And then Cliff has some examples. During World War II, the U.S. government prevented thousands of Jewish refugees from entering the U.S. Many were returned to Germany, where they died in Nazi camps. In 1951, the U.N. passed the Refugee Convention, providing for the right to refuge for the persecuted. in 2025, the Trump regime is ignoring that right. What if you had, what would you want if you had to flee persecution never again? Thank you so much. I love that idea, Cliff. And I know it's so interesting you're talking about 10-minute explainers, because I know that a lot of people don't want to listen to an hour, or they tune out and go somewhere else. That would have to need production on the back end, but it's something we should think about. And I think it's a really good idea, because someone would probably sit down and listen for 10 minutes if they wouldn't listen for an hour. So thanks. That's a great idea. Kevin writes, Governor Tim Walz would be an awesome guest. You know, you're reminding me of all the coverage we did last year. I want to know what happened to Tim Walz. I feel like when we first learned about him, he was this progressive champion for school lunch, for children, for people living in poverty, and he was a firecracker. But then when he entered the race, I feel like someone said, you've got to tone it down. And I remember the debate with J.D. Vance. He didn't really do a very good job. So I'm wondering if the campaign toned him down. I don't know if it's even worth talking about at this point, but Kevin writes, like Bernie and AOC, Governor Tim Walz is out there pushing back against Trump, Elon, and MAGA. He may be looking at running for president in 2028. He'd be an excellent guest. Maybe we'll try to get him, and I'd love to ask him if he was told to tone down a bit. Thank you for that, Kevin. Let's go to a caller before we're out of time. Let's hear from Peter in Florida. Hi, Peter. Welcome to the show. Thank you for holding.
Hi, Rose. You know, I just thought of this now. What I said to your screener is, like, you're such a soulmate of mine. I know, because I've been a fan of, like, Dean Ornish and Neil Bernard. And here, you're the only one who puts them on the air. And it's like, that's why I have to reach across the continent to hear your show. But something else that just passed through my mind, because he talked about school lunches. If those school lunches aren't vegan, they do more harm than good. I know that's audacious, but it's true. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I know, because you know what I'm saying. It's like a good the harm that's done to the environment for every lunch that isn't vegan. We can't afford it anymore. Better have the kid eat whatever oatmeal than have one of the standard school lunches.
Peter, I wonder, I appreciate your calls from Florida. How did you find our show?
You know, that's a good. I had a friend who lived there. You know that show, Minds Over Matter?
Yeah.
And he said, here, Peter, you'll like the show. And I do like the show. I call in. And only because I was on that show, it's like I came across your show.
Hmm. Wow, that's great. I've been wondering how you found us. Well,
it was, and I talked to my friend the other day. He liked listening to your show, too, when he, you know, living near San Francisco.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I appreciate what you say, Peter. I, unfortunately, we all have health problems in our families. You know, I have an uncle on dialysis. The poor guy has to go to dialysis 3 days a week. It has completely changed his life. I have others who have diabetes, others who struggle with their weight and are not mobile because of it. I mean, my poor dad struggled with his weight and I lost him. I don't know. I'll never know if he changed his diet and got healthy, if we'd still have him. I don't know. I'll never know, unfortunately. But I know that people are doing great work out there. We're not doing these shows to judge or shame. It's just to share the information, because the direction we're taking now is the wrong direction. 40% of kids in this country are now obese. And we have to talk about this in a respectful way for sure, but we have to talk about it because we're losing too many people. And we cannot get active in our communities if we're not healthy. And there's also a social justice aspect around it. There's an equity aspect, access to healthy food, access to a kitchen. Some people don't have that. So thank you, Peter. And we're going to do a lot more shows about this. So I appreciate you listening from Florida. And wow, what's happening in Florida right now? I'd love for you to email us and let us know. We did some shows about Florida and DeSantis, and we could do some follow-ups. Thank you. We have so many more emails and just a minute left, so let me just look at the clock. Hector writes, I appreciate your show. While the topics discussed are thoughtful, they do have the bias of being in a, quote, Bay Area bubble, as one of the callers called it. I would suggest two things. Listening sessions in order that we might learn from other perspectives that are not our own. An example is the Daily's interview with Ruben Gallegos. It made me think deeply about listening to Republicans in red state areas. Another example is why immigrants fear Trump even if they voted for him. That provides a sliver of understanding about why more Latinos voted for Trump in 2024 than 2020. In the post-election, I've wanted to retreat into a shell, but really what I need to do is eat humble pie and learn from what happened and learn from others. You know, thank you. I mean, you're right. Trump got more votes from so many different parts of the country. In fact, The Chronicle had a piece about how he got more votes in the Chinese community in San Francisco. So there's a lot to talk about there and a lot to unpack. Hector writes stories of resilience, resistance, and hope. I'd like to know from others how they're tapping into their sources of resistance, and hope, whether it's from a perspective of art, culture, or faith. It's so important to hear these stories. Thank you so much, Hector. Great ideas. Andrew writes, I'm so glad to hear you back on the airwaves. I appreciate your shows on health and caregiving. One aspect of care is self-care, which is so important right now. 6 weeks ago, I was going to 2 to 3 protests a week, attending meetings, making phone calls, reading articles daily, listening to the news, and writing about the situation. It was too much, and I was about to have a nervous breakdown. Luckily, a friend convinced me to get more sleep, take news breaks, spend a bit more time on things for myself that didn't involve politics. How about a show with more info on how we can take care of ourselves and find balance? The situation is urgent, but we also need to remember this is a long-term fight and we need to take care of ourselves so we can continue. Thank you, Andy, and I'm so glad that you're taking care of yourself, and thank you for keeping up the fight, but it's so important to find that balance, and we'll definitely do shows about that. Thank you for the emails and the phone calls. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of you, but I so appreciate your suggestions, and I wrote all of these down. We so appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.